Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Tier 1 Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSLV, and on the OTCQB under the symbol TSLVF. We are chatting with the co-founder and co-chairman, Ivan Babek, as well as president and CEO, Peter Dembicki. Now, Tier 1 Silver is focused in Peru. The company is focused on world-class silver and gold discoveries, with the flagship or the project that we're going to be talking a lot about here is the Curibaya project. The company just released 5 drill hole results from the program from last year. The news came out just yesterday, January 24th. The headline number is 384 grams per ton silver equivalent over 3 meters. This is on the Tapal structural corridor, again, at the Curibaya project. Now, just to remind everybody, this really is first pass drilling, as the company is testing 4 major structural corridors. We had 5 holes in this result, and some of the first holes from this Tapal area. Peter, let's start off with, again, the overall strategy at the Curibaya project and what the results have shown you so far about 4 different structural corridors hitting high-grade silver.
Thanks, Corey. Again, we're at our infancy of this project. As you said, this is our first pass of our first ever drill program into an area that has never once had a drill touch it before. 20 square kilometers of extreme high-grade bonanza on surface. We followed that up with some phenomenal trenching channel sampling results. And so now it's time to test these individual feeder corridors, these structural corridors, to see if indeed mineralization occurs beneath surface. You know, we got one hole out of hole 6 that finally had that plus kilo intercept that was a nice confirmation that we're on the right step. This one follows it up. We move almost a kilometer and a half to our west on the project to the Tapal corridor. And here we go. We've done it again. We've encountered mineralization in the third dimension. And it is again helping us with our focusing, our learning, and it's all leading towards giving us that data that we need to determine what comes next at Curibaya for our next drill program later in the spring.
Well, Ivan, I'll throw this one over to you. There were 3 of the 5 holes that were released, holes 7, 8, and 11. They were at the Madre corridor. What did you glean from these results that you got back?
Oh, you know what? I guess, again, you got to go and look at the system, right? And the amount of endowment and grade is overwhelming. It's exciting. Where does it all host and where is it all going to compile in a structure or on which corridor? So far, seeing 3 of them really through the drilling and discovering a 4th here recently with Tapal, we're starting to see that there's variability, which we expected. We're also starting to learn where we are in the system, you know, at what level of the stratigraphy. Is there a correlation between the bonanza grades we're seeing on surface or in some of the drill holes and the elevation from sea level of where you're drilling it? What we're noticing here in full clear picture is that we believe as we go towards the north on the Sambalai structure up that goes up to Cumbaya, this is proving to be one of the more dominant structures from appeal from some of the work we've done on it. And we're seeing a lot bigger and wider ore shoots in this direction. So, you know, we love the Madre. It was a great structure. Tapal is definitely got the width. It's 3 meters of 380 underneath 2 meters of 6 kilo silver. But, you know, I think we're heading towards the north with the silver. It's clearly taking us in that direction. And largely because that's a little bit higher in the elevation and we're seeing better widths in that direction with grade. So, you know, as far as the Madre, to answer your question, it's a good corridor and there's plus kilo and a half over a meter in that corridor. But at the same time, you know, it's too early to tell. It says drill me more. And that's what each corridor has said, is it needs to be drilled more. And so that's what we're going to have to do as we go forward. But, you know, a comment we've been floating with about everything is the next 5 holes we are waiting for are the ones that had the most confidence of what we've done to date. So we're very, very optimistic about the remaining 5 holes and what we might get out of there. And then secondly, you know, the next 5 holes we drill and so on, the learning that we've been able to do in 1 year on this project, the work that's been done it's outstanding, especially in a COVID environment. It's really taken us and saved us a couple years of how it would traditionally go we've kind of been full bore with pretty big team, technical team in Peru, and we've been driving ahead. So for me, you know, we're just starting to understand the system. We're definitely seeing the potential for a world-class silver discovery to really take shape. I classify all the results to date as breadcrumbs that are getting larger, some with that bonanza grade you're looking for. But we're far from testing several targets that we've really notified in the last 6 months on the project. So still early days, huge luck. And we like it all.
So we are going to post figure two from the news release below this interview, because it does outline these four different corridors, as well as where all the drill holes have been drilled, including a couple of those that are still at the assay lab. Now, Peter, I want you to follow up on one thing that Ivan alluded to there, is that as you move up the system, so higher up in this map, you are seeing some of the higher grades, some of the better results, and we have some of the holes that are still pending from the highest positions up on this map, still at the assay lab. Big picture, though, any idea why some of the best grades, some of the best mineralization has come higher up in the system here?
We are learning along the way. And what we're seeing out of some of the higher intercepts or the higher grade intercepts is they are occurring at a slightly higher elevation from others. And we're talking a difference of a few hundred meters. And so as you look at our property from a plan view, from top down, the elevation does actually, you know, as we go north, it gets higher. And we see it from the trenching results that we've gotten over the past few months from Cambaya, you know, including that massive one of 20 meters of 300 grams per ton silver. So, you know, it's a strong indication, and we're not completely leaving Sambale, Madre, Sama, and Tipal alone either. We have targeting that we want to recommit down there, because we're seeing indications that there are some serious things that we want to go after again and retest. And so, again, it's an elevation that we're looking at. It's so early. We're still downloading results from this batch. We have another batch to come really soon. We have multiple experts doing a full download on all of this information, and we're going to have a really strong message and targeting for when we wrap up again in the spring.
Well, Ivan, we were talking before we started recording about some of the disparity between maybe some of those eye-popping surface trench samples and some of the results so far. And you brought up a great point about how these vein swarms act and, you know, how difficult it is to hit them, but that there could be some real meat on the bone there, and it's still so early on. So maybe walk us through how this geology works and what the future drilling will be to try to nail some of those other high-grade pockets.
You know, every epithermal system, which is what we're dealing with here with these veins, it's very erratic and there's a lot of variability. So there's no real perfect way to target that without being drill intensive. And I'm not saying we need to drill 200 more holes to get there. I'm saying we've, so far with five holes pending, we've done a phenomenal job to identify four corridors to see a kilo plus or over a kilo and a half in some drill hole subsurface. I think that the real trick is going to be here to involve our full technical team, bring in the world experts that Peter's made reference to, and download with key features. And the one thing that's tricky about elevation is faulting. You have to watch out. Things go up, things go down, things move sideways. But if you can find a theme that's pointing you towards width and grade, which is everything that we've seen so far, whether you're a geologist or not, you're seeing it up towards Cambaya. You know, that's a theme you want to kind of retarget on the backside of getting the results. If we stepped out 5 meters away from where we just drilled, you know, the 3 meters of 384 grams silver underneath the 2 meters of 6 kilo silver, who's to say that you couldn't drill 5 meters of 6 kilo silver? You know, there's going to be erratic veins. I think the main target, from what I understand, that I've been downloading with the technical team is going to be to look for specific faults or structures that have really pronounced grade along these, you know, thicker widths that could give us the bonanza grade type of deposit. The good news, though, and it's a great question to ask, is when you have widespread bonanza grade in veins over a big area, which is what we have, pretty much the 20 square kilometers, 4 by 5 kilometers, that tells you the system has massive endowment and there is a potential source or pooling of silver and potentially gold nearby. The other thing that we've learned about these veins in the system is we've learned that it's really giving us a classic low to intermediate sulfidation system, indicating that there could potentially be a big porphyry here as well. and being on one of the world's most prolific porphyry belts, I think that's something that's going to grow quickly based on the results from this program. So yeah, we came out here swinging big. And when you swing big on a vein system, you're going to hit some good holes. You're going to hit some smoke. You have to fall back to what does the geology really tell you? Where are you going? How much closer are you to that major discovery? Five more holes to come. And then the mid-February, third week of February kind of reveal, once all of our experts, as Peter said, come through this, it's going to answer a lot of questions and give people a chance to speculate on the probability of the next phase and how probable it is that we might have a major discovery if we don't have great holes already in the lab that we're waiting for assays on in this last five holes.
So Peter, so far with this limited drilling that has tested these four different corridors, I understand you guys have hit smoke, you've hit stuff that makes you encouraged. Have you eliminated any of these areas as drill results maybe haven't come in as strong as you had hoped?
No, to be honest, no. We are looking at retargeting each feeder structure corridor at this point because we're seeing things in each area that are worthy of revisiting. Again, when we do come out with a new drill program, it'll have a budget and we have to ensure that we're using that properly. We have to strategically place drill pads. We have to put a plan in place that we can't deviate from too much as far as permitting and as far as, you know, capturing as much as we possibly can with every meter of drilling. And so if we have a specific program in place, we have targets in place, and if we need to go back and we really feel like we're on the verge of hitting something where we previously were drilled, we're going to go back and do it. But in this case, it's too early to say because we don't even have our complete set of drill results back. And if something might show up that might pull us in another direction, we can't let that completely dictate us at, you know, following the next shiny object, no pun intended. We have to stay the course and to make sure that every single drill hole is with a cause and a purpose and doing the maximum amount of work for our discovery.
Just one thing to add there, Corey, is if you have two drill holes on a kilometer and a half corridor, I mean, come on, like that's barely scratching the surface. And most of them, you know, except for Madre, if you look at Sambalai or if you look at Tipal, they've had only two or three holes on these 1 to 4 kilometer long corridors. So there's so much more to go do. The question we had in this first pass, obviously we all want, you know, 5 or 10 meters of multi-kilo silver so we could get the obvious hole to get us started. That is a possibility that this project will always have in the background if you get it in the right place. But we just wanted to know if these were really mineralized, was there widths, was there grade, and we're seeing that across all four corridors. So, you know, from that perspective, there's so much more that could be done. And these are really big targets if one of them starts to repeatedly give, you know, along the corridor and shows us grade as well as width.
Okay, guys, and another key piece of this news release that we should definitely get into is that you've had a promotion on your team to a new senior vice president of exploration, and that is Christian Rios. Why don't you walk us through a little bit about his background? He's been at the company, but he'll be new to this role. What does he bring to the table for Tier 1 Silver?
Sure, I'll start. This came with a resignation from Dave Smithson, who was somebody that was with our group since Caden days. Dave's a remarkable geologist. He put everything into this project and, you know, in the COVID environment and stuff like that, I'd like to say he worked 700 days last year. He resigned due to personal reasons, and I won't go into that because personal reasons are personal for a reason. But I will say that the work he's done, the level of where he got the technical understanding of the project, it's awesome. And we are very thankful and wish Dave the absolute very best. Dave has actually resigned from both of our companies, all our entire group, and the industry for the time being. And so we wish him and his family the best of luck and hope to see him back in the industry at some point in the future. But, you know, obviously hit some a kind of a personal wall. The new member who's been on the team since day one, Christian Rios, I'll start. I know Peter has a lot of great things to say about him, but he's had two major silver discoveries in Peru with Bear Creek Mining. And he's been there from day one alongside the big team we have in Peru with Dave. And so I certainly welcome him. I've seen, you know, a lot of his thoughts and ideas along the way and more recently. And, you know, I think he's getting the project at a very, very good time where the first 6 to 8 months of drilling and the reconnaissance kind of work to figure out what you have has been done. The guy's background and experience is awesome, and he's Peruvian. And, you know, these are very, very big compliments towards this project. And he gets to work with a very big team. So very seamless transition to Christian. The continuity is going to be awesome. And, you know, it's very sad to see Dave go at this stage. But, you know, what we do next is more important than what we did before. And in this case, I think Christian's got all the qualifications we would want with a really strong silver background. That's it for me. Peter, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Christian was one of the first with Dave to walk this property. So it's not like this is a project that he's taking on new and has to familiarize himself with of years of exploration. He was there at the beginning, there at the inception. We've been working closely with him in Tier 1 as he was head of our operations. And we've been incorporating him over the last few months more and more into the project. And so to have him in this seamless transition to come over and take over the exploration team is actually a perfect scenario for us. And so we have full confidence that we are in fantastic hands. Yes, Dave, we're going to miss him for sure. We learned a tremendous amount from him. He was such a hard worker, paid attention to detail, and we wish nothing the best, and we're on great terms with him as well. But honestly, Christian is going to add another set of eyes, and sometimes that just makes things that much better when you have a slightly different viewpoint to look at all the information, all the data, and with our advisors and experts that we're bringing in together as a group, once we have all the information, we can lay it out, download, and determine what is the best plan forward for our second phase of drilling here. And so Christian adds a fantastic piece to that puzzle.
Okay. Guys, we appreciate the update here. Sounds like more news to come, more drill results to come, and then moving through all that data to come up with a drill program for this year to follow up on some of these drill hits so far this year on those four different corridors. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will follow up with Peter and Ivan to get those answered, and we will also follow up on the back of those remaining holes that are still at the assay lab. Guys, thanks again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks, Corey.
Thanks, Corey.